I want to ask you, and just getting ready for the word this morning, to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We're going to be reading the first five verses there in just a moment. Let me first of all say that as you're leaving today, we want to be thinking about next Sunday, which is Christmas Day. We're going to be having two services here on the hill. We will not be having our traditional Christmas Eve candlelight ceremony and service. We're going to be moving that to Sunday morning. So we're going to do two services, 9 o'clock, 10:30. And we're going to encourage you to be bringing your family and friends to that. Use these cards. You can find them at the information desk. Use them to invite people to come and experience Christmas with us. We are doing our series, Come Home for Christmas. And the message that we're going to be doing next Sunday morning is come home to the Lord. Just come home to God. And we're going to have a great time in the Lord. I want to encourage you to invite people to come. Now, when you give these out, I've been giving them out myself. One of the things I ask is, do you have a church home? Do you have a place that you are going to be going to worship? And if they do, then I just say, great. And I leave it at that. That's not who I want to invite. But if you get somebody and you say, do you have a place that you're going to be going, that you go to worship? And if they say no, that's who you want to give one of these to. And we want to invite them to come to the hill. And a personal invitation from you, we'd love to have you for Christmas morning, 9 o'clock or 10:30 on the hill. And you give them one of these. And I've not met one person yet who doesn't say, I really appreciate that. Thank you. And I've been able to invite Oriental people to say, you know, we're a church for every race. We're a church for every people. And we want to invite you to come. And so they were very, very receptive to that. So I want to encourage you, go by the information desk, pick up three or four or five of these, whatever you need, and take them with you and then invite people to come for next Sunday morning. Now, if this is like you're new to the hill and you started coming maybe mid-year or whatever, one of our traditions, one of the things that we do is to work to get everybody into the Word. And we do that by reading through the Bible every year. And maybe you're thinking, that just kind of blows my circuits. I can't think about reading through the whole Bible in a year. Are you kidding me? It can be done. We do it as a church together. You've got a couple of options this year. And what we're going to do is we're going to continue with our tradition of making Bibles available to you at a reduced cost. You can get one of these Bibles for $10. That's much reduced price, almost 50% off. And we want to ask you just to buy it for yourself or for your immediate family, not buying up, you know, a case or whatever for family and friends so you can give as gifts, because we are swallowing almost half of the price. So here's the thing. It just depends on what you want. Now, this one, which is the New Living Translation, a great translation of God's Word, both of them are chronological, by the way. So it means you're going to read through the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, as it occurred. And so you're going to be going different places in the Old Testament. You won't just be starting at Genesis and reading straight through. It's going to open up God's Word for you in a way that maybe you've not had it opened up before. And so you can get this one in large print. And if that would work better for you, I love this. It's just easier to read. Hey, you know, there's no shame in that. So if you like one of these, you can get that. This is the only one we can get in large print, New Living Translation. This is the one that we are working through right now. This is the last one, the latest one that we've been promoting. This is in the NIV, and it's chronological order. The difference in this one and this one is this has devotional insights with it. So you have a Bible reading, and you also have a devotion in the Word. And they'll talk about the book that you're reading and the events that are taking place. And so it just depends on what you want. Both of them, $10. You go to our library, which is right across the mall area today, and you can place your order. Now, you can get one of these right now. This one you're going to need to order. We'll have it for you before January the 1st so that you can get started with it. But you need to be sure and go by and place your order today. So be sure you go by the library, go by the information desk to get one of these. All right, now let's look at God's Word this morning. And we're talking about coming home for Christmas. We've been talking about a lot of different things about what it means to come home. And today we're going to be looking at the Word about coming home to God's light. Coming home to God's light. Now, I want you to look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And of course, that's a reference to Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. It simply means that Jesus is the expression of God come to earth. He is expressing the Lord God. He is the Word, which is simply expressing thought and feeling and emotion. And so He was in the beginning with God. Jesus has always been. He's not a creation of the Father. He is one with the Father. He is equal with the Father. You can pray to Jesus just like you pray to God the Father. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. They are all God, one God in three persons, and you can pray to each of them. It doesn't matter. All things came into being through Christ. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Whether you realize it or not, Jesus is the Creator. He created everything. He created the universe, the earth. He made Adam and Eve. Jesus did that. And then verse 4, in Him, in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, we're talking about light. Now, when you begin to think about Christmas, I don't think there's any way you can think about Christmas and not think about lights. I mean, it's kind of a universal thing that's common everywhere. When Christmas comes around, homes get lit up. Cities get, lit up. Lights are like everywhere. And light is a major theme of the Bible. I think one of the most powerful, most significant statements in the Bible was made by Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 46. Now listen to what Christ said. He said, I am the light of the world. Now what does that mean? Well, Jesus wasn't talking about physical darkness, obviously. Jesus didn't come to the world to be like a light bulb. It's not like He came here so that He could be a light shining in physical darkness. He's talking about something else. So look at the truth. If you get out your life point outline this morning, the truth is this. Christ is the light of God to banish the spiritual darkness of our lives. You see, one of the things that the Bible teaches me about you and me is this. You and I came into this world and we were separated from Him. And we came in with the wages of sin operating on us, and the wages of sin is death. Now, what does that mean? It means that before I came to faith in Christ, I did things in my life that brought hurt. I did things that brought suffering, not only to me, but also to other people. I brought misery. And then there was war, there was conflict between me and other people. And there was strife. All of this is because of the darkness. And here's what God says. It is exacerbated, it is made worse by the fact that when I'm not saved, when I don't belong to Christ, Satan is ruling and reigning in my life, and I may not even realize it. And that's true of you. If you're outside of Jesus Christ this morning, you may not know it, but your life is being controlled, manipulated by Lucifer, by Satan. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. If the good news is hidden to anyone, it is hidden from the one who is on the road to eternal death. Satan has made them blind, unable to see the glorious light of the good news or understand the amazing message that we preach about Christ. You see, when I am separated from God, I try to live life on my own. I want to do life my way. And God says that when I'm like that, I am living in spiritual darkness. Now listen, when I am in spiritual darkness, when you are, something is true about us. The Bible says, we know not at what we stumble. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's so much that happens in my life, and I just don't understand why it's going on. I don't understand why I'm going through some of the things that I'm going through. And the reason these things don't make sense to us, the reason we can't figure it out, we keep asking, why is this happening to me, is because we're in darkness. We make one mistake after another. We make mistakes in love. We make mistakes in life. We make mistakes in finances. We make one mistake after the other. It's like we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. And we keep wondering, why is this happening? Now, I don't know why you are here this morning. I'm totally excited that you're here. There's no other place that I would rather see you come than to come here. And I'm glad that you're here. Now, some of you are here because this is your home. This is your church family. That's the reason I'm here. I look forward every week to come and to see you. And I want you to know, while I'm preaching, I'm taking roll. I've had different ones say, I walk up to them and I say, you know, we've really been missing you. And they're like, you knew I wasn't here? Now, I understand. Out of, 11, 12, 1,300 people that are here on a given Sunday morning, there are people I can go, like I had one church member not long ago come and say, well, have you missed me? And I thought, oh, God. And I'm like, you've been gone a long time, I hope. And they said, yes, I've been out for several weeks. And did you miss me? Yes, we did. See, I missed some. But here's what happened. On Sunday morning, I'm taking roll. I learn you. I do in part. And that's why I get kind of perturbed with some of you. You keep moving. You don't. And I'm like, just find a place and stick. Just quit wandering. Some are over here, and then they move and they go over there. And I'm like, dude, it takes me half the service to find you. I'm looking and scouring the group. And so I do that. Why? Because you're family. And that's what God intended the church to be. We're not like a family. We are a family. So some of us are here because this is family. This is where we're going to be. We're going to get up on Sunday morning because this is family, and we're going to come here. Some of you are here under duress because somebody would not leave you alone. And you're like, all right, I'll come. Here I am. Leave me alone. And I just want you to know we're glad that you showed up. We're glad that you are here. And so what I'm saying is this. God teaches something in Scripture. One of the things He teaches is that He is absolutely sovereign. Whether you know Him or not, whether you see Him as your Savior and the God of your life, He is the creator of your soul. And God has taught us in Scripture that He is sovereignly watching over you and me. And God says that He is determined. In Acts chapter 17, He said, I determined and decided when you were going to be born, where you were going to be born, and to whom you were going to be born, and I've already determined when you're coming home. God has already determined what my last day on earth is. I can hasten that by sinful and crazy living, but I cannot make it go longer than what God has prescribed for me. There's coming a day I will breathe my last, and I will be done. And the same is true for you. And what He's simply saying is, none of you are here by accident this morning. And I just want you to think about that. You are here this morning. You're here to hear this message because God wanted you here. Yes, maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you thought, this would be a good day for me to go to the hill. I've been hearing about this and yada, yada, yada. Doesn't really matter. You are here because God wanted you here this morning. And God wants to light up your life in a way that you cannot imagine. Because I understand that there are many of us here this morning and your life experiences don't make sense. And when it comes to your life, maybe there's a huge question mark. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you just in your heart right now, just to offer up a prayer to God. You say, I don't know, I've ever really done that. Well, listen, let me just help you with this. I want you to start, because God's listening, that you just offer up a prayer to Him and you say, you know, God, I'm believing, according to what the pastor's saying, that you've got something you want to say to me. Because I know there's a lot of confusion in my life. There's a lot of things that I don't see. I don't understand what's going on. But God, if you are light, and the Bible says that you are, I'm asking you to help me to see you. I want to see you. And I want to see the real me. And God, I'd like to know about my future. I really would. I want to know what my life is about. And so I just ask you to turn on the light in my life. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I enjoy getting up every morning, the reason I want to put my feet on the floor and to get into the day is because that I know I'm not here by accident. I'm not in Texas by accident. When God had me born in Arkansas to Alpha and Weston Green, and then He put me here, God sovereignly planted me here. And God has planted you. You are here this morning because this is where God wants you. And when the light comes on inside of you, you begin to realize, my life is not an accident. I am a plan. And God has got me here for a reason. And you see, most everybody on the planet understands that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But what tons and tons of people do not know is they don't understand why He came. So let's talk about that. If you got out your life point outline this morning, I want you to look at number one. Jesus came to give us a picture of God. He came to give us a picture of God. The truth in your outline, at the core of much of our misery is an incorrect view of who God is. And you see, this is what God wants to do. God wants you to see the real Him, what He's like. Not what somebody's told you, but what He's really like. Remember when Joseph was engaged to Mary? Mary's found to be pregnant with Jesus. Joseph totally doesn't understand that. And so he's got a mind, he's going to put her away, he's going to divorce her. He doesn't want to hurt her. He doesn't want her to get stoned to death, so he's going to do it privately because that was the punishment for the crime, to be unfaithful to your husband. And so he's going to do that. And then the angel appeared to him in a dream and told him what was taking place, that this was from God, that the Messiah was going to be born in the woman that was going to be his wife, and that she was holy, and that when this baby was born, you are still going to marry a virgin. What? Yes. Jesus was born to the what Mary? Virgin Mary. When Jesus was born, she was still a virgin. She had never known a man. She was pure and undefiled. And He said, do not be afraid to take her as your wife. She's still pure. I have done a miracle through her. And Joseph had this aha moment. It was like, okay, I get it. That doesn't make total sense to me, but I get it. I'm talking to an angel, obviously, so this is of the Lord. And so he did it. So here's the truth in your outline. You will never become what God intends till you have an aha moment of light regarding God as He is, not as you think He is. You see, the first benefit of knowing Jesus, the first benefit of getting God in your life, is that confusion in your life gets replaced with clarity. God says, I want to help you understand you. I want you to help you understand me. I want to help you understand your life and what's going on in your life better. And here's something I want you to see. This is, maybe you don't even realize this, but if you've never made a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ, let me tell you what's taking place in your life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of Christ. If you're outside of Jesus, if you're outside of Him, I know one thing is true. There is confusion in your life. You may be confused about your future because you don't know, you're not sure what you need to do. You may be confused about a relationship. Do I get in? Do I get out? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Maybe you're confused about finances, you're confused about your health, and all of these things, God is simply saying, I want to put light in your life. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. And he said, I want to help you understand. Listen to John 12, 46. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world. Now listen, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the darkness. You see, Jesus said, I don't want you to be in the dark about your life. I don't want you to be in dark about yourself, about your problems, about your eternal future. Listen, if you don't know, if somebody was to say, what's going to happen to you if you were to die right now? And you were to say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. That is absolutely the worst answer you could give, other than saying, when I die, I'm going to bust hell wide open. That would be worse. But if you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me, I hope I make heaven, that is a lousy answer. It's absolutely lousy. And I want you to know, God wants so much better for you than that. God wants you to know about your eternal future. And God wants you to know what He is really like. Because here's the deal. A lot of your fears and your worries and the problems are because you don't know what God is like. I mean, listen, some of you are here this morning, but unless a light comes on, you're not going to be here next Sunday, and you may not be here for two or three Sundays more. And I want to tell you why you're not. You're not here on a consistent basis because you don't know Him. You think you do, but you don't know Him. Listen, when life is working right at home, isn't home where you want to be? When home is hell, you want to be anywhere else. Would you agree with that? Yeah, I don't go home. Are you kidding me? It's horrible. Listen, when your relationship is right with God, if you know Him, being in a place like this is where you want to be. I don't have to twist your arm. I don't have to push you. I don't have to guilt you into going. Why? I love Him. He is everything. He provides for me. Listen, every one of you are where you are in life, not because of your brains primarily, but because of His blessing. God said, do you understand? All the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. The money is mine. Your health is mine. Everything about you is mine. Everything you've got from me. Don't be so arrogant that you think it's all because of you. God said, I am the source of your blessing. And a lot of our fears and worries or problems are because we don't know Him. We don't know this incredible God. If you knew Him, you would worry less, you would be afraid a lot less, and you would be less stressed. But listen, when you don't know Him, it's no wonder you don't want to come to worship. You tend to avoid what you don't understand. You tend to run from what you're afraid of because it's like, I don't know. So here's the truth in your outline. There's a lot of distorted images of God in our world. Let me tell you something. If you're getting your theology about God from movies, oh my word. That is a horrible place to get theology, is watching the movies. Bruce Almighty, seriously? Horrible. Actually horrible. I think the only movie that I would recommend, and I'm not saying it's the only one, but I think one of the primary movies that really gives you a good picture of God is The Passion of the Christ, you know, directed by Mel Gibson. It is not entertainment. It's not entertainment. But it tells you the truth. It'll tell you the truth about why Jesus came. You know, often you'll hear with regard to God, somebody will say, well, my idea of God, listen, anytime somebody starts to say, my idea of God, you automatically know they're guessing. And I'll tell you something, my idea of God is just as good as your idea. But the reality is, I don't want to be guessing about what God is like. You know, who cares what my opinion is? Who cares what your opinion is? It doesn't matter. What I want to know is, what is the truth? And so Jesus said in John 14 and 9, anybody who has seen me has seen the Father. That is absolutely the most arrogant statement unless it's true. And Jesus said, you look at me, and you, when you see me, you've seen God. And He backed it up by doing these incredible miracles that nobody else could do. And there are so many ways that God could have come to earth. But when He came to earth, when Jesus came to earth, how did He come at Christmas? He came as a baby. Why? Look in your life point outline. Why did Jesus come as a baby? Number one, He came because He wanted to identify with us. He wanted to identify with us. That's why the scripture says He was tempted in all points like you and I are. In other words, Jesus couldn't sin. He was God. But He, as a man, He knew what the tug was like. He knew about sin trying to get a grip on Him. He understood that. And so what it simply means is God in Jesus understands what we're going through. God is saying, I get it. I do. I get what you face every day. I totally understand it. That's why Jesus came, to identify with us. But number two, he came as a baby because he said, I am coming to save you. I'm not coming to scare you. God's not trying to scare us. God says, I want to save you. And so that's why Jesus came as a baby. Now in Romans 1 and 20, it gives us a picture of God. And it says that the invisible God is declared through the nature that he created. In other words, we get a picture of God in nature. It's not a complete picture, but it's part of it. Let me tell you two ways that you get a picture of God in nature. Number one, you learn that God loves variety. I mean, if you want to see the variety of God, just look down the row. Look next to you, look down the row, look around. There's nobody in here that looks like somebody else. Everybody looks different. It is incredible to see the variety of God. And getting ready for this, I found out, now get this, God created, do you know there are over 60,000 kinds of beetles in the world? 60,000. I would have thought, 300, I'm good. 300 would have been fine. But God said, oh, no. 300 is nothing. Let's talk 60,000 different kinds of beetles. That's like overkill to me. But God is just saying, I am a God of variety. That's what the Lord is like. And then number two, God is powerful. You see this in a volcano eruption. You know, we had hurricane come through here. I saw what that thing did to my house, what it did to trees, just laying them down like matchsticks. I had this huge oak tree in my backyard. It'd take like four men, arm to arm, to go around the trunk of that tree. And that thing split in half and just did a pirouette, which I'm totally grateful for because it would have taken off the whole end of my house if it had fallen on our house. But it split in the middle and then just did a pirouette, just did a twist. God laid it down on the ground, for which I am so grateful. But that is a picture of the power of God in nature. And you just see how powerful he is. And so I get a picture of him, but it's not a true picture. I mean, it's not everything. And this is the third thing. Outside of Jesus Christ, here's some things that you would not know about God. You would not know, number one, that God is loving. Because Jesus said, he told a woman caught in adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And God said, I just want you to understand, I am a God that if you'll admit where you're wrong, I will forgive. God said, I'll forgive. He's forgiving. And then he says, number two, that God is loving. He said, how often I wanted you to come to me and you would not. God said, I want you to come. I want you to come to me. I would welcome you through my son Jesus. I want you to come. God is loving. He is forgiving. And number three, God is waiting. Jesus said in John 14 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, Jesus is in heaven right now building a city for all of God's people. It's where we will live for eternity. We will come and go out of the new Jerusalem that God is creating. Jesus is building it right now. And he says, I want to put a room on for you. I want to make a room for you. But it is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, I am waiting. I'm waiting. So the truth in your outline, Jesus came to show us what God is really like. He is loving, he is forgiving, and he is waiting for you to make a decision. And then lastly, Jesus came to reveal God's plan. See, God has got a plan. And the truth in your outline, you were created for a purpose. Now, I know there may be some of you here this morning that you feel like God sure could have given you different parents. I understand there are some parents that are poor parents. There are some parents that are great parents. There are some parents that are horrible parents. They're absolutely horrible. But God had a plan. I want you to understand, God knew who had the right DNA to make you the way he wanted you. And God planned you. And what he's saying is, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. And he said, before you were born, I planned you. And listen, he said, I want you to know the truth about you. Jesus said in John 18, 37, I came into the world, now listen, to tell people the truth. Have you ever kept something back from a friend or from a family member because you didn't want to hurt them? You didn't want to hurt their feelings? And two, you were kind of afraid they were going to like blow up in your face, you know, and just like spit in your eye, you know, whatever. So it's like, Here's the deal about God. The truth in your outline. God will always tell you the truth, regardless of whether or not you like what you hear. He'll do it every time. He'll do it every time. You know, the times when I preach the truth from the pulpit, it makes some people so mad. And I'm like, it's in the book. I'm telling you what God says. You know, God said, I'm not put off. I'm not afraid of your anger. And he said, I am going to tell you the truth. Because he said, I don't want you to waste your life. God wants us to live a maximum life. So the truth in your outline, God is God and he has a right to point out what is wrong in our life. He said, I want you to know. Why? God, why do you want me to know? He said, because I've got a plan. What is your plan? Great question. Ephesians 1 verse 9. God, now listen, God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered in Jesus Christ, designed long ago, and this is his plan. Now listen, at the right time, God will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Now listen, here's what that means. It means that life is moving toward a destination. There is a point out there in the future that all of life is moving toward, and that is when everything is going to be put under the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus will rule this earth from pole to pole and from east to west. He will be Lord over everything, and it will go for 1,000 years. And God said everything is going to be brought under his authority. Now, this is what it goes on to say. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God because he chose us from the beginning and all things happened just as he decided long ago. Now, every time you read about an inheritance, it's talking about family. I mean, you don't get an inheritance unless you're part of the family. And so when he's talking about an inheritance, here's what God is saying. He said, this is what I want you to know. The reason that all of us are here, the reason I'm here, the reason for the universe, the reason for this planet. Now listen, is this. God wanted a family. That's why we're here. God wants a family. And the truth in your outline, one day, God wants to take us home to live with him in heaven for eternity. But the reality is, heaven is a perfect place. And I cannot go there unless I've got a ticket to get in. And I have blown it already. I never hit 1,000, and I certainly have gotten worse as time has gone on. I keep messing up. I can't get into heaven on my own. You know, when you ask somebody, are you going to heaven? And people say, well, I hope so. That is absolutely the worst response you can possibly give. You know, at least say, well, I just know when I die, I'm going to bust hell wide open. You see, outside of Jesus, that's what I'll do. But when you say, I hope I'm going to heaven, that's a horrible answer. Because it means you think you are, but you really don't know, which probably means you're not. Because in Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry. I know. Amen. I know. These things have I written unto you, who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God says, I want you to know. I want you to know that you're coming home. All of us need a ticket to get in, and that ticket is Jesus. Now listen to what he said. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. I don't know what 2017 is going to hold. We may pick up the phone and we hear those horrible words, somebody's died. The report is back from your lab results, and we need you to come down to personnel for your final check. You have no idea what's going to happen. I'll tell you one thing. 2017 is going to have some dark days just like 2016 did. Because we live in a dark world. And there's so much that we don't know. We don't know. And God says, I want to be light for you. I want to help you understand your life. I want to help you understand where you need to go, to the right or the left. I want you to understand when you need to be still. I want you to understand when you need to say no to that job offer. I want you to understand when you need to say yes, because it's what I want for you. It's what I've got for you. I want you to be able to understand what you need to do. And you do that in Jesus Christ. But how do you do it? Look at the truth in your outline. You turn on God's light by faith. Some of you have got family issues. Family is a mess. You know what God is waiting to hear from you? God, my home is a mess. My wife and I, my husband and I, we don't get along. The kids are unruly. I've lost the heart of my son or my daughter. They no longer come to me for advice. They will not listen to me. Do you know what God is wanting to hear? God is wanting to hear you say, you put us together, Lord, and I will not check out of this marriage. God, I married and I told you till death do us part. And I am going to trust you. Boom! The moment you say, I will trust you. I need you. I cannot be what she needs. I cannot be what he needs. And I don't know what to do. God said, trust me. Commit it to me and I will be what you need. I'll show you how to love them. I'll show you how to be what you need to be that you cannot be without me. God, I've lost the heart of my son. I've lost the heart of my daughter, but I'm going to trust you. Boom! God said, I'll show you what you need to do. I'll show you how to build a bridge into their life. I am the one who is able to give you the heart of your son and your daughter that you cannot do, but I can. I can give you their heart, but it comes from me. And it only comes when you trust me. When you yield to me and you make me God and you make me Lord of your life. And God is waiting today for you to say, Father, I feel like a failure. I have blown it. I've said I'm sorry so many times that they no longer believe me. And I need help. I need you. And I want to turn my life over to you. God, I give you my life. Because I can't make it work. I can't make it work. That's when the light will come on. There is a light. And there is a God who can help you if you'll come to him. I want you to stand and bow your heads for just a moment. Would you quietly, reverently? In the music in just a moment, I want to invite you this morning. My pastors that are here in the service will be here on the front. But I want to ask you to come from wherever you are and just stand down here facing me, because this morning you're saying, Lord, whether it's in your home, or it's with your health, or it's with your job, it's with a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, that you this morning are saying, Father, I want to trust you because I don't know what to do and I need you. God, I want to turn my life over to you. If that's what you're saying, I want you just to move out of the chairs where you are and just come and stand here this morning. We're going to pray a prayer of commitment to him, that Father, I'm coming to you. So wherever you are over this auditorium, just begin and come and stand right at the front, that Father, I need